26, Blessed Guy of Cortona, Confessor First Order. In the year 1211, when our Holy Father St. Francis was preaching in Cortona on his first missionary journey through Italy, a certain young man was so touched by his words that after the sermon he entreated St. Francis to dine in his house. The saint accepted the invitation. When the young man learned further details about the newly founded order and witnessed the edifying conduct of the founder, he fell at his feet and begged for the habit of the order. The young man was Guy or Giles, first born son of a distinguished family in Cortona. He had been reared in piety and virtue, was quite accomplished in the sciences. Francis directed him to distribute his wealth among the poor and gave him the holy habit in the parish church of Cortona in the presence of a great concourse of people. Then Francis chose a spot in the secluded valley near Cortona where, with the assistance of some devout persons, he built a poor convent. For a few months, the saint himself instructed Guy and several other novices there. At his departure, he entrusted to Father Sylvester, his companion, the direction of the novices, especially of young Guy, whose eminent holiness he foresaw. In fasting, prayer, and in all religious exercises, Guy evinced such perfection that he could be held up to the other novices as a model. He would have preferred to spend all his life in the holy seclusion of the convent, but when he was ordained to the priesthood, St. Francis commissioned him to go out and preach. For in accordance with the vocation of the order, he was to sanctify not only himself, but others as well. Filled with zeal for souls, Guy left his seclusion. His words had great influence over the hearts of sinners. His holy life edified everybody, and Almighty God confirmed his activities with extraordinary miracles. One time Guy was quite ill with exhaustion, and nothing but water was at hand by way of medicine. Guy made the sign of the cross over it, and it became the most choice wine, which restored his health and was left over later. What was left over later healed the infirmities of others. After a most blessed and successful career, Almighty God announced to Guy in the 60th year of his life that his death was near at hand. Saint Francis, who had long entered into heavenly bliss, appeared to him and said, "My son, after 3 days at 9 o'clock, I shall return and escort your soul to the eternal dwellings." His already decreasing strength then began to ebb rapidly. On the third day, he received the last sacraments with great devotion. And when the appointed hour arrived, he called out, "Behold our Holy Father Francis. Arise, let us go to meet him." With these words, he jubilantly surrendered his pure soul into the hands of his Maker. It was May 12, 1250. Upon receiving the news of his death, the people of Cortona came to get the precious remains of their fellow citizen, in order to bury them in the parish church. Amid the festival, pealing of bells with palm branches in their hands and singing spiritual hymns, they transported the holy body in a long procession to the town. There the remains were entombed in the principal church. Many miracles were wrought through his intercession. After some time, enemies invaded the city. The church was pillared, and the precious coffin containing the body was carried away. But the sacristan hastily wrapped the head in linen cloths and hid it well in a well near the church. At the end of 3 years, when the church was being restored, mysterious light radiated from the well. Upon investigation, the head was found, not even moistened by the water. Amid the jubilation of the entire town, it was again placed in the church. Benedict XIII approved a proper mass and office in honor of Blessed Guy for the Diocese of Cortona. Pope Innocent XII and extended it to the entire Franciscan order. Concerning good example, consider that the proverb, "Actions speak louder than words," was verified in Blessed Guy. He was moved by the sermon of St. Francis, but he felt mightily drawn to follow his footsteps when he beheld his edifying life. The power of good example is easily explained. It awakens in the beholder's esteem and love for the virtue they behold exemplified before their eyes. Then, too, the example encourages them to practice a virtue which until then appeared too difficult to perform. Finally, one learns from example in what manner the virtue is to be practiced. Have you profited by the good example of others? 2. Consider that one must avoid as much as possible the bad example given by others, because the saying that example draws applies also to them. In order not to see the bad example of the world, Blessed Guy would have preferred remaining in seclusion, we who are so weak and have even greater need to avoid seeing such example. But when you come upon bad example, which you cannot avoid, let it serve as a warning, so that good may result instead of harm. Have you done this up to the present time, or have you rather used the bad example of others to excuse your own faults? Have you yourself perhaps given bad example to others? 3. Consider how Blessed Guy edified the world by means of his good example. We are obliged to set a good example to others. Our Lord admonishes us to do this in his Sermon on the Mount. Quote, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Tertiaries are bound to good example in a special way by the rule which prescribes they should endow to set a good example to others. Try to do that, as Blessed Guy did, without any desire for honor, but purely out of love for God and your neighbor, then you too will partake of the glory of Blessed Guy. Prayer of the Church. O God, who didn't give us Blessed Guy, your confessor, as a model of religious perfection and a zealous preacher of the divine word, we beseech you, grant us through his intercession the grace that by good works we may set a good example to our fellow men, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed Guy of Cortona, pray for us.